Om Shanti. Good morning. Today in our spiritual gathering, we have a very valuable jewel of Baba, Sister Kim from London. She is in Gyan since last 33 years and we'll be interviewing her today in the morning class. So Sister, welcome to our class.
I'm very honored to be with you this morning.
Sister, we would like to know how you came in this knowledge.
I'll just take one moment and then in silence and give drishti in. How I came in this knowledge. I think there's two moments that are significant in a Brahmin's life, and one is birth and one is death. So when we leave the body, the aim is to leave with Baba. And when we take birth, also Baba gives the soul birth at the confluence age. So I think from a young age I was very spiritual, but my family were very religious, so the two didn't really match very well. They thought I was rather strange in that way. But always I had that inner relationship with God and that conversation. And when I was 8 years old, I asked God, what would I do with my life? Okay, God, what am I going to do? Tell me. And at that time, I heard a voice in my head, and he said to me, very clearly, he said, I will come and show you the path. And I asked him several times, and the answer was the same, I will come and show you the path. So from there, 8, 9 years old, which must have been 68, 69, I had this faith that one day God would turn up, come in front of me, and show me the path and what I had to do in my life. And I would, at that moment, I would dedicate my life, and I would surrender, and I'd do whatever God asked me to do. And all I knew was that when God came in front of me, I would recognize truth. That was just my faith. You don't need translation, you're okay. Everyone understands in here. So I thought, oh, well, what's God going to make me do? Is he going to send me off to Africa to do some Christian missionary work? Or I didn't know what it was. So as I was growing up, many different things happened. And then there was a time in my life where I was living in New York for a while. And I was 23. And I came back to London. And there were many things that led up to that. I was having kind of like visions or experiences of Shiv Baba. He would come in my dreams and I'm not understanding what's happening. Someone's calling me from very far away with a lot of love. I was having these experiences of these people, kind of subtle people in light. And I felt, and they were standing there. I was having these dreams and they were calling me. And I remember one day, this is a few months before I came a VK, and one day I thought, where is this energy coming from? Who's sending me this energy? So I tuned into the energy. I was living in Manhattan, 14th Street. And I thought, I'm going to find this energy. Where is it coming? And I traced the energy. It's coming from this direction. And I got all the way to the UN Plaza. And that's actually where Baba has his office. And when I got there, the energy finished. I thought, well, you know, so where is God? So maybe it wasn't my moment at that time. So I came back to London, and my friend, who was American, but he'd just converted to Hinduism, and he was following Vedanta, and so he had this guru he was following, and I'd visited him in Boston. So that was the first time I went into a meditation room with all the idols and images and gods and goddesses. And he said to me that if you read the Bhagavad Gita, it will change your life. So I had this kind of thought in my mind. And when I left New York, where I was staying, there was a small copy of the Bhagavad Gita. And I took it from the bookcase. And I thought, when I read this book, it's going to change my life. So I came back to London, and I started reading the Bhagavad Gita. And in there it talks about Rajoga. It talks about people dressed in white. And there were two things I had a realization of when I read the Bhagavad Gita. One was that God had incarnated into this physical world and he was giving the knowledge of the Gita now. It wasn't an old scripture. It's like I knew somewhere in the world that God had come and was speaking this Gita knowledge and that I belong to those people. So that was one realization I had from reading it. And the second one was Krishna wasn't God, because they talk about Krishna in the Gita. I thought, why do they keep putting the wrong name? They don't mean Krishna. So at that time I called out to God and I said, okay, you promised me that you would come and show me the path and now I'm ready. You have to come now. And I don't want religion, I'm not interested in, you know, devotion or bhakti, I want the real thing. I know that you've come, I know you've incarnated, I know you're somewhere, so you have to come in front of me now and I will surrender my life. I will, whatever you ask, I will do. So that was kind of, I said, okay, that's it, your promise, you have to fulfill your promise. So I thought, okay, I've got to start somewhere. Like, where is God? So I looked in a local magazine and in there it said Rajoga lecture. I thought, okay, I know it's something to do with meditation, so I went along to the lecture and it was Brother Nick from London, who's a very old VK. And when I walked in the room, what I saw was, it's like from his eyes, there was this light that was coming. I didn't understand. I'd never seen a person in my whole life. It was almost like this kind of, just this divine light was streaming out from their eyes. I didn't understand what was happening. And there was just one other person in the lecture. And just before the lecture, a few days before, on the day of the lecture, the weather was really terrible. It was like raining and hail, and it wasn't the kind of weather that you would go out for. And I had the thought that if this is God and I don't go to this lecture, then for the rest of my life I will regret not having met God. So I have to go to this lecture. So there were just two people in the room. And I think it was that moment when he said, somewhere in the middle of the lecture, he said, through this Raj Yoga you connect with God. In that second, I had an experience of Shiv Baba. And I think in that moment I took birth. It's like, I realized this is God. You know that moment, you must have all had your moment of deep realization. This is it, I've just found God after searching many births. And so, and I said to him, is this something to do with the Bhagavad Gita? Of course, he wouldn't understand where I was coming from, because I don't look like someone who's following that path. And many years later, I asked Brother Nick about that experience. I said, oh, what was happening in that lecture? And he said to me, there were two people. So when he looked at the other person, it was just very normal. And he said, when he looked at me, he said he felt like Baba was just giving all this sakash and light. And it was like streaming through him. He just said it was like, as soon as he turned away, looked at the other person, nothing. Looked at me, it was just this light from Baba. So I think that it was Baba that gave me birth. And I also have the feeling that it was almost like Baba kind of told me to come to the Brahma Kumaris. It wasn't like I came to the Brahma Kumaris and they gave me the knowledge of God. It was almost like God kind of told me he was here and then said, okay, through this organization, through these people, I'm working. So you have to go there if you want to get the experience of God. So from that day, I don't know, when you wake up, you wake up. So it's been a long journey.
Wonderful. So sister, you said that from beginning you had surrendered intellect, right? From the beginning, and you had faith in God. Once you become Brahmin, and since you are in this journey since last 33 years, you must have seen a lot of ups and downs. So how did you keep going? And you can share some experience.
I think from a young age, I was always influenced by Gandhi. For some reason, he was a very, when I heard Gandhi's story, and at least the story that I heard at that time, was that there was some European people with him as well. There was a European woman he had as a secretary or part of his gathering. When I heard that as a child, I had the feeling that Gandhi was such a great soul, and he came and did such a great task for the world. And if ever, ever there is another human being who is like Gandhi and is doing such a great task for the world, then I have to dedicate my life to do that work. So I think when I met Brahma Baba from the beginning, it was like, I have to do what Brahma Baba's work is. I have to also help him in that work. And I think in Brahmin life is something like a silent contract with God. Like, whatever karmas, whatever I do for Baba, whatever I'm kind of dedicated to, is a result of what I'm receiving from Baba. It's like a invisible kind of contract with Baba. So, although, yes, of course, the journey is very, the variety of the journey is amazing. It's almost like underneath there's some face or foundation or a deep belief that is invisible to anyone. Nobody knows that your bhavna, your kind of determination is coming from a place, they look at you superficially and think on that level, but actually the desire to, and I think the other thing is that from a very young age in this body, even when I was a baby, I have some memories of that, and I remember that in this birth I always had the thought, I have to keep moving forward, I have to resolve my karmic accounts from this birth, and I have to keep moving forward. So sometimes those things, have been keeping me moving. Of course, then I met Baba in the early 80s, so those kind of things that Baba would have said confirmed things and have kept me going, really. Whatever obstacles come, I've always experienced that. Whatever seems impossible, God will find a way to explain something to me and help me go to the next level. I remember I had a dilemma once about the yajna. Sometimes you see so many things in the yajna and know too many things. And there's a dilemma in the soul because I want to follow truth and honesty, and yet sometimes I'm seeing other things. I remember it was about 2006. I think I went on the stage and took Toli from Baba. And Baba, I went with this dilemma, Baba, and it was like he said to me, oh, this is nothing. I saw that he knew everything that was going on in the yajna. He saw everything that was happening, and Baba was kind of saying to me, oh, it's no big deal. And he took me into this experience of extreme detachment and very profound place of love. And he was kind of saying to me that in this place of love, everything can be merged. And I saw that God was so powerful that everything that was happening was merged in this detached, loving place. So wherever I've had an obstacle, I've always found that Baba has, even though it seems impossible, somehow Baba... And my attitude to obstacles is, let's approach it from every single angle. There's no angle that you can't approach it from. It might be, I ask, if I'm really stuck, then I'll ask Baba, okay Baba, I've done my best, I don't know what to do, and I'll ask for Baba's help. If it's really difficult, and then, he'll give a touching, and sometimes you have a conversation with someone in the courtyard, and he'll give you the answer. It's like, he'll find a way, he'll make drama cooperative to find a way to help me get the solution to that obstacle. But I won't know what it is. It's like I'll have to be completely open to see, okay, how does Baba want to work with this one?
There is always inquisitiveness to us Indians that foreigners have accepted this knowledge so beautifully, and we always see you in white sari. So was it easy to do all this, or there was a resistance from inside?
I think everyone comes to the yagya with gifts, like each one of us, the Bharatwasi family, the double foreigner family, everyone comes to the yagya with their treasures and their gifts. And I think one of the gifts of the double foreigners is that we don't have the colouring of the bhakti or the concepts of Hinduism. I mean, we may have read about it, so we have some. So if I come to Baba, I come to Baba in a really clean way. In other words, I haven't got all that baggage and all the background to that. I don't know anything about that. So when I recognize Baba, it's coming from a really pure place, a very clean place. So I just see what Baba's got and I take what Baba's got. Let me just experience this. And sometimes what happens from the Bharatwasi perspective is that because it's kind of half and half, they already know about the Hinduism, this and this. So when Baba comes, sometimes there is that mixture. So that is one speciality of the double foreigners. And that's one of the things that they're contributing to the yagya, is that if they're doing it, they're really doing it. So that's why Baba talks about honesty, because you can imagine my culture isn't this. From my birth, you know, it's a very, very different culture, my parents, religion, everything is so different. So if I recognize Baba, it's like I have to just recognize Baba directly. The advantage that the Bharatwasi family has is that they've got the subtle depths of the knowledge and wisdom. If they can extract from, you know, the gyan, the real, because they've got the language and the real, they've got the cultural context, which I haven't got the cultural context. So if you've really got the cultural context, you can know how Baba is, why he's saying, what he's doing. Now that can take you a long way in gyan. You know, that is really brings a lot of power and depth. So both are good. So I never felt that it was difficult, because I think my recognition was always from such a profound place of this is God, you know, and from a young age I knew I was surrendered. I always thought it must be my bhakti of the Bhagavad Gita, because I think in the Gita it says God will come and show you the path, right? There's some kind of line in there. So I always think it must be my previous birth, the fruit of my previous birth, that I'm getting this recognition. But so I come at it clean, in a way. And that is the power, the honesty, you know, Baba talks about. But the depths of perception and cultural understanding that then adds the real power to gyan, I don't have that aspect. So when we come together, actually so Baba knows what he's doing.
So sister, we would like to know what seva you are doing in London.
Service. I wonder if service is just an excuse to keep us in the family and keep us close and keep, so we have relationships with the seniors and keep us safe and protected while we can make efforts. And whether it really is about service or Baba's task has to be done, and I have to earn my fortune and blessings, so I'll do something. I think also when I came to Baba, maybe you also felt that I didn't think I could do any service, I didn't think I had any specialities. I was thinking, what can I do for God, you know? So somehow Baba gave me some opportunities, and then what happens is you start with an opportunity and then you become the master. I think I've been in the Murali department for about 25 years, and I used to keep asking the sister all the time, I want copies of the Aviat Murlis. Can I get copies of the Aviat Murlis? So I think because I was so insistent, asking all the time, Daddy Janki then put me in the Murli department. I'm sure that's why she did it. So I notice that every single service I'm doing, kind of the major ones, somehow Daddy Janki has been instrumental because I only had three teachers really, Daddy Janki, Sudesh Didi and Jenti Ben. They were the teachers in front of me all the time, and Daddy was always instrumental for making me, you know, go in this department, go in that department. So I don't know, maybe like you get asked by the seniors, it's not like you choose the service you do. And somebody asked me yesterday, what do you do? And I was thinking, what do I do? So perhaps if I have to have I help in internal communications, BK, internal communications. And so all the information that goes out, more official communication, so all the information that goes out to the centres worldwide, outside of India, so I send out all the information. So I'm in the Murley department, I'm involved in the UK charity on the admin side, the trust, I'm involved in international admin of the Yagya, and I'm involved in, yeah, Murley department, which is our education department, right? And internal communication. So any communication that goes out, both in the UK, London, UK, international, I somehow am involved in that. I don't know how it happened, in the sense that we never go after service. Service seems to just come to us, right?
What do you do in a local?
I'm not working at the moment, but what I was doing, I was made redundant a year or so ago. I was working in immigration law. So Baba found me a job, Lokik job, as a secretary in a law firm for immigration. And then one of the solicitors left, so then the solicitor said, well, you'll have to take on more responsibility and start doing applications and visa applications. So I became paralegal admin. And so then I was there 10 years, so by the time I'd left, I'd got so much experience in doing immigration law that I could prepare all the applications and I knew all the law. Enough. I'm not a lawyer, but enough. And then, of course, Baba had me help with Baba's immigration law. So wherever, like, even if you have a skill, a Lokik skill, like, Baba will then transfer that into the godly family and use that skill. So, yeah, it's been very interesting. And I think I needed that law background. In the Yagya, there's the kind of ruling the kingdom side and there's the spiritual side, but they need balancing. So I needed to come from both sides. It's been very useful. Yeah, so Lokik becomes Alokik. Baba's never wasted anything that I've, any skill I've got.
You said you were in Murli department. You are in Murli department. So, would you like to share with us how do you read Murli, churn on Murli? What you give importance to?
I think I always Murli is the direct. How is God tangible? So he's very subtle and incorporeal. And so the only way that he manifests, the only way he comes, that he's physically tangible in a way, is the Murli. So I don't think it's so much the words, because they might come out in Hindi or English or many things, but it's, can I get the energy that Baba's transmitting through the Murli? So when I read Murli or study Murli, I'm always trying to connect with the energy of the Murli rather than the actual... The words are just the kind of doorway into the Murli. And it's to work with what's behind the Murli. I think that's how I approach the Murli. And while I'm here in Madhuban, I've got a bit more time for spiritual progress. So then working with Gyan is different. But I think that's the essence of it. It's like I listen to it, but I'm listening to Baba. You know, I'm trying to connect with the real truth behind the Murli. and then translate that into my life. And if I can do that, then yeah, kind of go beyond the words. It's like in Madhaban, I tune into the energy, at the moment anyway, it's tuning into the vibration of Madhaban, the energy of Madhaban. And because that is everywhere. And that is the inspiring thing. Yeah.
Sister, what is your current effort now?
One aim I came to Madhaban with was that I wanted a reality check. I'm working with a few words at the moment, and one is honesty and truth and authenticity. And I've come to Madhaban for a reality check. I want to know where I'm at. I want to, not too high, not too low, without ego. I want to know exactly where I am, where I've come from, and the reality of what efforts I need to make to go forward. That's what I want from this Madhaban, that when I go back, I know exactly like where I'm pitching myself, at what level. And I think in Madhaban, the energy here is so refined that in this atmosphere, I can know the truth of who I am and what is within my grasp, then what I can do, let me reach out for that and make those efforts. But what I can't do, let me be real about it. So that is my that's my current effort to get a kind of come for a reality check.
Sister, you are there in Gyan since last 33 years. You must have seen Avyakt Bhavdada's part changing. So what do you think about the changing part of Avyakt Bhavdada?
For myself, and I'm observing others, it's almost like Baba's kind of saying to me, okay, well, I'm becoming more subtle, so if you want a connection with me, you're going to have to connect with me. You have to make that effort to connect with me on that level. And it's like, I've given you everything, here's all the knowledge, are you doing the work? So it's kind of, so two things are happening. The karmic accounts from my past that I haven't yet resolved are coming in front of me to be resolved. And at the same time, Baba's saying, okay, you know, what have you really done? So it's almost like Baba's withdrawing and saying, it's up to you now, what do you want to do? And you know, sometimes Baba has to do something quite, you know, to make me wake up and make the effort. Baba has to be quite real. You know, if he just continued giving, I might be more complacent. But now it's like, if I really want an experience, and one aim I came to Madhaban with, because I just before I left London, I knew that Daddy Gosar was in Mumbai and probably wouldn't be coming to Shantivan. So I just had the attitude, I'm coming to Madhaban on a pilgrimage to meet God. And how I meet God, where I meet God, through what experience I meet God, I don't know, but I'm coming on a pilgrimage and I'm going to meet God. So that is the experience I'm having, but the experience, of course, is subtle. So it's like, Baba wants me to make more effort, subtle effort, and this is the way he's doing it. Okay, I don't agree with him. I might argue with him. But, okay, Baba, why are you being like this? But yes, it's making me make more effort. And I had the experience, because when I came, I was in Shantivan for 2 days, and then Daddy Janki was there, so I went to see her a number of times. And I had the experience within the first 2 days of Madhaban that I'd already met Baba. I had the feeling that as though Baba was there and I'd met him. So anything is possible through subtle effort. I'm here to meet Baba. And so then he has to fulfill his part of the bargain, right? I make the effort, he has to come and give the experience.
Okay, anything else you would like to share with us?
I think that's, whatever you've asked me, I've shared, that's my journey. Every soul is unique. I think the only other thing I have, at this time, very, very strongly, and maybe it's from Baba, that I have to finish my karmic accounts. I have this kind of urgency inside of me, this very deep, as though a kind of aim that I have to face my karmic accounts of this birth and many births, and I have to find a way to resolve those. And when I was in Baba's room, I think it's a year and a half ago, Baba said to me, "You cannot go forward until you go back." And at that moment I promised Baba, I said, "Yes, I will." So since that time, I want to make Dharamraj my friend. I don't want to wait till... I want to have complete honesty and transparency in front of God now that I can face my karmic account while I've still got opportunity to take, you know, Sakash from Baba, and I can still take his help and I can take help from the family, because I feel that as I go forward and in London and the, you know, the atmosphere is so, everything is going into the extreme, that at the end I will not be able to make that effort to finish my karmic account. It has to be now, because the influence will be so much from whether it's bodiless souls or the fear of everyone. I think I can make effort at that time to remember Baba, but unless I've finished my karmic accounts now and become clear, I won't be able to do it then. So that somehow that inner hunger to finish my karmic accounts is like Baba keeps saying to me, "You've got to." And it takes a lot of honesty and courage. Yeah, I haven't thought of that. I'll try that while I'm here. Yeah, Sakash, I need... why not Dharamraj Baba help me? If I'm honest and I say to Baba, "Baba, I'd really like to finish my karma accounts, can you help me?" Then it's like he's giving me help. But if I don't have the courage to ask him and I put it off and I'm not willing to look at my accounts, I don't know if Baba will help me in the same way. So that's my current effort.
Thank you so much, sister, to come in this gathering. Thank you.
Thank you. Om Shanti.